At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, primetime action, hour number 2 from the South Point Sportsbook Studio. I'm Ben Wilson, back with Matt Brown. We've got Kelly Bidlin behind the glass. A lot happening on the diamonds tonight. I say a lot happening. I mean, there's 9 games. Underway right now. Actually, a fifth underway right now. But for us, like, we are enjoying it. And we have a lot of NFL talk to get to as well. This hour, we're going to talk some of the interesting markets that we have not discussed yet, some of the long season markets. And guess what? Tonight is also the starts, the return. 32 teams and 32 shows. Are you ready for that, Matt?
Yeah, 32 teams and 32 shows.
Wow.
I'm going to stick Kelly to that.
There
That's
we go.
Definitely going to happen.
I mean,
end of summer, we might be rushing a few in.
That's definitely going to happen. 32 teams and 32 shows.
But don't worry, we're prioritizing. We're going to get the good ones in first for you.
Start with the good ones.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
If you can guess which, I don't know.
It might be like 22 teams in 22 shows.
It might be good.
Stick around. Who knows?
It's June. There are 74 days from right now until the start of the NFL season.
Wow. How do you know that? You clearly read that on Twitter somewhere today.
I actually punched in the thing. You know, you can do the calculator of like how many days until like whatever. And you can just punch in a date.
No,
literally a website that is, you just Google, I don't know what the website's called, you just Google how many days until.
Like the next blood moon? Like I can put anything
in
there?
Yeah, like, because people
do that. Oh my God, put the end of the world.
All right.
Oh God, I don't want to know. Never mind, I don't want to know how many days until the end of the world.
You have to specify an actual date.
What if it says 3? What are we going to do? Like, I don't want to know.
Bet all of your money on Noah Syndergaard.
Never mind, I don't want to know. I'd have to quit right here in the middle of the show. I'd just go, there's 3 days till end of the world. I got a lot of things to do in 3 days. That's all I got. 72 hours.
I wanted
hours.
To figure out just some planning, and it spat out, this was yesterday, 75 days. So we're down to 74 days, man.
When's the next day the Atlanta Hawks are going to win the NBA Finals? That would be good to know.
Yes.
354 days. So go, Kelly, go bet that right now, 65-1. We have some scores, though, Kelly. We can at least update the folks on while I now figure out other dates that I want to
figure out. Yeah, I guess. I was trying to go find your website quick. That's really intriguing to me. Okay, we got the Yankees up 1-0 on the A's that just had a – oh, that was yesterday. I'm watching. Watch your replay from yesterday. Mm-hmm. Sorry. A's – trailing the Yankees 1-0. Live numbers on that game right now. Yankees -520. They are in the top of the third. Man, the A's are terrible. What they got one man
Breaking
on,
news.
Two out. I was just confirming there wasn't a screw up in these numbers. But no, it is only 1-0 Yankees. They are -520 live. A's +380, 6.5 is your total. Pirates lead the Nationals 1-0. That game in the bottom of the third inning. Pirates minus 120. Nationals minus 110. 7.5 is your total. Blue Jays up on the Red Sox 2-0 now. That game in the bottom of the third. Blue Jays minus 550. Red Sox plus 400. 8.5 your total.
We looked up, that was a George Springer solo shot that brought that to 2-0.
Okay. Twins up on the Guardians, 3-0 still. That one in the top of the fourth inning. Twins minus 600, Guardians plus 430, 8.5 your total. And the Cardinals with a 1-0 lead over the Marlins, top of the second inning. Live numbers currently off the board.
That was a Paul Goldschmidt solo home run. His 19th of the year, raising his batting average to .339 and his OBP to .423.
Good Lord.
So, having a season.
I would say so.
Having a season.
WRC plus 191 entering play, which if you remember last year, the league leader was 170.
That was that was also his 63rd RBI so far. Of the year. This guy is just absolutely destroying right now. Wainwright gets gets three strikeouts there in the first inning.
Did you end up playing that?
I played the Cardinals as well.
There you go. Kelly, the website is www.daysuntil.net.
Love
it. Oh, boy.
So go have some fun right there.
Vlad Bomb.
Uh-oh. This Connor Siebold guy,
not keeping the ball in the yard very, very well. Not keeping the ball in the yard very well. So that's a two-run. Yeah, that's a two-run there for Vlad. So they have taken him deep three times already in this game.
Wow. 4-0 Blue Jays. And you were not wrong, Kelly, on that live number with the Yankees because they went off a $3 favorite. It is just, it's absurd now. The live betting, yes. You go up one run and you're a $3 favorite. You're already up to the minus 550 range. So we'll monitor that. But all of the games right now, all five right now with scores at least have happened to this point. We have a couple more first pitches coming up. Mentioned Perez Bubic here in about 5 minutes. Texas and Kansas City, not exactly two teams moving the needle here, to say the least. But Bubic has been getting, if you're wondering, wait, what Rangers, are they really deserving of being pretty healthy road favorites? Bubic has been horrific so far and not getting any market respect. I'm seeing it as high at a couple shops as $1.45 now.
Yeah, and then Perez, I mean, again, if you think he's been, you know, overachieving, I don't know if the regression is coming against this Royals lineup. So, I mean, you can bet against Perez maybe at a different date because, I mean, he is 5-2 on the season with a 1.96 ERA, and Martin Perez isn't typically that type of guy. But, dude, you're not scared of this lineup, really. I mean, we're talking Merrifield, Benintendi.
Oh, A's go deep. Wait.
Booyah.
Yeah, three-run homer.
Is that really a three? Wow.
Yankees live bet coming soon.
How did they get even? How did
that's why I was confused. They had a man on, and it was one out. I think they got a hit, went first and second, next man up, hits a three-run.
It looked like that was so the ball came back into the field of play.
Yeah, there was some confusion. It was clearly out.
And now Mark Kotze, who looks like he's aged about 20 years in the last 6 months,
they got feral cats running around their stadium, man. That'll age.
And there's Ross Sewage in the Coliseum. You know,
what's the question here?
Oh, yeah, that clearly hit.
Did it hit off some guy's hands?
It looks like it.
Like me trying to catch one of Matt's water bottles.
It's one of the – I was going to say, we have this thing called slow-mo instant – oh, it's because someone's stupid arm is in the way and we can't see it. Someone put their fat arm in the way and we can't see what just happened right there.
Oh, so they didn't give him the homer on the field, but they are challenging. They ruled it a ground rule. They ruled it a double on the play. So.
We should also mention the Royals traded away Carlos Santana earlier today as well. Yeah. So he's not – in the lineup there for that Royals squad either. So, I mean, it's just Texas, even though they're not, by any stretch of the imagination, world beaters, their lineup is just exponentially better than this Royals team. And so I can see why the Rangers are as big a favorite as they are in this game, despite the fact that they're, you know, three games under .500. You don't expect them to be that big of a road favorite. But it's just it's tough sledding there for that Royals squad.
Well, it's not like – I mean, Perez, the BABIP's basically league average. It's in the 290, 295 range. What has stood out for him is the home run to fly ball rate. It's sub 3%. Mm-hmm. So essentially what the advanced numbers will then tell you is, well – league average is much higher than that, so theoretically his ERA should be much higher because the fly balls are not going out. But again, as you pointed out, it's not like this regression stuff, even when you are able to identify it, it's not like the next start it automatically just goes off the cliff. So yes, a guy who doesn't give up a very high proportion of home runs to his fly balls, you expect that to regress to the mean, but you're facing a Royals team that's 27th in home runs this year. 27th in runs overall and 25th in OPS. So if there's ever a matchup that would seem to suit the eye of Martin Perez, it's this one.
The Twins lineup, as good as it is good anyway, but Tristan McKenzie is having a tough go at it here. Yeah. Top of the fourth, already 5-0 in favor of the Twins in that one. We do have one other first pitch coming at you this hour. That is the Dodgers and the Rockies. Tyler Anderson's going to be on the hill for the Dodgers. Chad Kuhl for the Rockies. -190 on the Dodgers as road favorites. You're getting +160 on the Rockies at home. As underdogs, 11.5 is your total in that one. Looking at the lineups here, pretty straightforward for the Dodgers. Turner, Freeman, Smith, Muncy, Turner, Bellinger, Taylor, Lux, and Thompson. Remember, Mookie Betts is on the IL, so he's not going to be in the lineup for them as it is, which, by the way, they did say that they thought that the return timeline on Mookie Betts was a little aggressive when they first came out with it and said it's going to be a little bit longer than expected for this Dodger squad. So just something, again, to keep in mind as you bet them. On the Colorado side, it's Joe Daza, Bryant, as we mentioned, Chris Bryant off the IL. He's inserted in the lineup right there in that three slot. Crone, Rogers, Iglesias, McMahon, Grichuk, and then Diaz is the 9 there for the Rockies tonight.
Dave Roberts saying yesterday, not cleared to start baseball activities anytime soon. And there was another quote from the postgame story yesterday that Betts, the idea of him returning in about 2 weeks was, quote, not proving to be realistic.
Oh, it didn't leave, guys.
No, they did. So they reviewed it. The A's, what we thought was a 3-run homer, turns out to just be a double off the wall. So it is 1-1, second and third, two outs. And that could be a pretty massive.
I was going to say that's huge with the two outs.
Somehow it looked like it hit the top of the wall and just took a weird bounce coming back into play. It looked like it hit the padding and not connected to the wall. It somehow hit the padding and bounced back. So, it ends up just being a double. But, runners now on second and third with two out, though.
Jeez, that's not optimal. I mean, Kelly was waiting to get in.
I was just going to instant live bet the Yankees.
They're not going to be able to happen, at least for right now. I was just going to point out, you mentioned McKenzie, Matt. Mm-hmm. This big game in the AL Central, Guardians and Twins, 5-0 now Minnesota, top of the fourth. Tristan McKenzie, his last two outings now have come against Minnesota. If you look at it at this point, that is 11 runs combined he has given up. He now sits in, 7 2/3 innings?
Yeah.
11 runs? And he had been great to start
He had been really good to start the year. So that was a pretty big bummer there for this squad, no doubt about it. Because as you mentioned, we understand it's still the first half of the season, but it is this is a big series. It's a big game, big series, and especially whenever you're getting a chance to dig into to that lead that the Twins have on them.
And will they do that? It's a 5-game series. So, I mean, this, as you point out, the pendulum could swing pretty significantly here. And depending on how the White Sox continue to struggle, you could be looking at a scenario where Twins go into this weekend, and sure, they will lose their pitching coach. Pitching staff's been top 10 in a lot of marks throughout the course of the season, but they could open up. It's not unrealistic to think five, six game lead.
No, absolutely.
That's how this stuff works. So 5-0 there. And again, the total there at Coors, we discussed earlier with Paul Spohr, 11.5. Hard not to like and over, but Tyler Anderson, look, he and Tony Gonsolin, Kelly's guy all of a sudden, those two are a combined 17-0 across 25 starts. That's pretty insane.
That is really good. Tyler Anderson
8-0 with a 3 ERA.
I was going to say Tyler Anderson 8-0. If that tells you anything,
I would say he's getting a little bit of run support. Yeah. I would just go on a limb and venture to say that bases are loaded for the A's, Kelly. So just potential in-game bet coming on the Yankees, depending on what happens here.
Elvis Andrus is still playing.
Andrus is at the plate. That is the A's in 2022. The statement Kelly just made. We're going to talk NFL offensive and defensive player of the year markets coming up next. That's on the other side of this break here on Primetime Action.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season 2 because, as it turns out... F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's done it, folks. Elvis Andrus and his 220 batting average. Kelly Bidlin takes back everything he said from before the break as the A's erupt four spot in the top of the third. As we welcome you back to primetime action. Bases clearing double, Kelly Bidlin. What do you have to say?
I think I spoke it into existence is what I
think you
did.
You just really wanted to make a blind in-game wager on the New York Yankees tonight. What number can you get him at right now?
Man, you can catch 2.5 runs right now, -113 at MGM. I got my eyes on that, or +225 on the money line. Let's see, over.
Wait a minute, I have 2/3 of the game left, and I can catch 2.5 runs?
You can get, yes. At DraftKings right now, you can get 2.5 runs at -115 or money line +240.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, kind of convinced it, didn't
I? Piqued my interest.
Yep, I'm back to the normal primetime action summer, Matt, where I don't think there's going to be many times when I see the Dodgers or Yankees fall behind that I won't be live betting.
Yeah, +2.5, -15 at MGM.
Let's see if he can get out of this inning.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I'm waiting for that. I haven't bet it yet.
The answer is no. Okay.
Elvis Andrus. There we go. Elvis Andrus, last two seasons, his averages have not exactly been sparkling, Kelly. 220 this year and then 243 last year, 194. Those are his last three seasons. He comes up big today.
Adam Wainwright just in the second inning, at the top of the second inning, struck out Brian Anderson on a 73-mile-an-hour curveball.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's all I could
say. You think you can hit 73 with your curveball these days?
I mean, probably not with a curve, but I mean, like, that's pretty slow, man.
That's not quite. RJ Swindle was my personal favorite. Threw a 54-mile-an-hour curveball, and he was with the Milwaukee Brewers and Philadelphia Phillies. His one season in the majors, I want to say, like, 09. It was majestic. Majestic. Also, they just threw up a Touch of Gray graphic on Sonny Gray on the Minnesota broadcast.
Good on them.
Gotta love that. So those are the latest baseball updates here. I see the Pirates have also taken a 1-0 lead. They got a sack fly there in the game. Everybody's watching, Pirates and Nationals. Again, as we talked about earlier, we will have 32 shows. I should say 32 teams and 32 shows. I put the second part before the first part.
You did what Kelly did earlier.
32 teams.
Kelly stayed on the third room of the second floor.
Third floor is what Kelly told us earlier. Well, but we have 74 days to get in 32 teams and 32 shows. So that will be happening later. First, though, and
I'm in on the Yankees, +2.5, -117.
All right.
Probably should have just money lined it, but whatever.
he's doing it.
That's okay. And this actually just coming through right now. Scott Lauber of the Philadelphia Inquirer reports that Bryce Harper is likely to need surgery on his fractured left thumb.
Yeah, we saw those odds go from plus 850 Saturday night. Woke up Sunday morning, it was 11-1, and right now he is dipped to 50-1 in the NL MVP market, which would tell you, yeah, he ain't coming back anytime
soon. Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things because he also has that elbow thing going on, and
he could only DH, right?
If they were to fall too far out of it, you probably just shut him down for the season. Like, why risk anything? Yeah. You know, like you probably just shut him down for the year. So this is a pretty important stretch for the Phillies, to say the least, here to figure out if they can at least keep it within striking distance. Because again, if Bryce Harper needs surgery on the thumb, he's already got the UCL thing going on and the elbow. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you fall 14 games back or whatever, you know, 12 games, what are you going to do?
Manager anyway. Three of the NL's top 10 players in WAR all out.
Yeah.
Harper, Machado, Betts, two of the three on the IL, and we'll see when Machado comes back with that sprained left ankle. So that is a very useful update to know, as we saw also the Phillies dropping all the way in some shops to 18-1 now to win the NL East. So we discussed earlier, this was, a couple weeks ago, Matt, we got your thoughts on MVP odds and your overall strategy now for 2022 in the NFL market. We'll talk tonight about offensive, defensive player of the players of the year, since we have individual odds out now for those award markets at DraftKings right now. Cooper Kupp is your favorite if we look at the offensive side. Up first to repeat as winner there in the Associated Press, Jonathan Taylor of the Colts, he is second. So only two guys are single digits right now. And then you've got your Derrick Henry, Deebo Samuel duo at 10-1, and then a boatload of guys in that mid double digit range there. How is your general approach going on a market like this, Matt?
Yeah, so I actually have four Offensive Player of the Year bets in the account, only one of which is on the screen right there.
So you're doing the same thing as you did kind of with MVP
for this
market, basically.
Yeah, so I took Justin Jefferson at 30-1. I'm kind of glad to see he's down to 25-1, so it seems like some other people maybe have gotten the same idea I have. But I believe Justin Jefferson, this is a real big breakout year for him in this. He now becomes, for sure, no question, the alpha number one there. Like, you come in, you're kind of behind Thielen. Then that year two where you're kind of like, okay, yeah, you are the number one, but it's still kind of Thielen's deal and whatever. And then now, for sure, right? He is the unquestioned number one alpha there in an offense that, you know, look, they're going to throw more. That's just all there is to it. Like, they're going to put the ball in the air more. They cannot do this whole run their victories into losses, you know, and that's basically what happened last year for them several different times, where they were leading and they could have won games and they got way too conservative. And I think Justin Jefferson is going to be a big time recipient of that. Now, does that mean he wins Offensive Player of the Year? Who knows? But at 30-1, I thought that price was way too long, and glad to see it fall just a little bit, because at least somebody was thinking the same thing that I was as well. I took Aaron Jones as well at 60-1. He wasn't on the screen when we got right there. He's going to be a little bit further down the list. But
now 40-1.
I like that one.
40-1. So it's at least the DraftKings, that's been cut into.
So it's one of those things where I'm looking at it from the standpoint that Jones is now going to, I think, this is just personal opinion, but I think Aaron Rodgers leans on him fairly heavily in the pass game as well this year. And I honestly think that the Packers might actually lean on him to just kind of line up sometimes in the slot, or, you know, different little things like that, to get the ball in his hands as much as humanly possible, because he's been there. Rodgers is familiar with him. And, you know, look, there's a lot to be said for that, you know, and there's going to take some time for these rookies to get in sync and get in tune with Aaron Rodgers. And I think that he's going to rely very, very heavily on Jones in the passing game. And then also, we know, you know, what he does on the ground as well. So I think that there is a really big opportunity there for him. And so I thought that number was a little off. I thought it might be a little bit too high, and with that, I went ahead and played that one as well. And so, honestly, even at 40-1, I wouldn't hate having that ticket in your account. Again, if it plays out kind of like I think that it's going to play out, because they have the luxury in Green Bay of using him more as a receiver because remember they drafted AJ Dillon a couple years ago, and so they have him who can kind of fill that more traditional running back role and use Jones as more of a hybrid type guy. It would not surprise me if he ends up, you know, touching the ball, has just you know, an absurd touch rate for this team, whether it be taking the traditional handoff or getting, you know, little screen passes or even running traditional pass routes, you know, out of a slot or something.
Well, remember, they have a history of doing this with, remember, Ty Montgomery. Mm-hmm. The difference is Aaron Jones's talent level is significantly higher. Yeah. I mean, Ty Montgomery, that was done out of pure necessity because they legitimately had no running backs in that, if you remember, in that season, that was, what, 2017, 18, mm-hmm. they used Montgomery that way. And your other two plays, I just looked this up, they both have dropped a little bit. J.K. Dobbins, I'm seeing 80-1 at DraftKings, and your other play here, which was
Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell. He's down to 60-1.
Yeah, and so the reason I liked Mitchell here is, you know, a lot of those guys that had been stealing touches from him over the years are out of town, and they obviously just hate Trey Sermon. I mean, like they just hate Trey Sermon, and apparently for whatever reason just don't want to give him a go at this. And so I'm banking on that Trey Lance takes a little bit of time to adjust to the game, and with that, they rely more heavily on the run game. Let's not forget, San Francisco likes to run the ball as it is anyway, right? The other thing, they're not going to be siphoning off 5 or 6 touches a game to Deebo Samuel anymore because Deebo Samuel said, I don't want to be a running back anymore. Like, I don't want to run. I don't want to be a running back. So those 5 or 6 touches now go to the running back committee. And with that, I think that Elijah Mitchell becomes a real big beneficiary of all of that. And so I liked him as well to potentially have a big breakout season for them. And then the other one is just, again, it's a run-heavy squad. And if I can get, if you can give me a run-heavy squad, then I will take a shot on a running back and a long shot on a run-heavy squad. And so when you look at Dobbins and specifically in that Ravens team and how much they want to run the ball, and you look now behind him, it's just Gus Edwards, who's a year older, you know, and I think that when you look at what the Ravens do best, if it's Jackson and Dobbins and them kind of doing their thing, then that's a winning combination for the squad. So again, I took a long shot on him as well. And so, like you're talking about, I did the same deal that I did with the MVPs. I'm taking like long shots on these guys that I think have a clear path to, you know, almost uninterrupted touches and uninterrupted, or in Justin Jefferson's, you know, uninterrupted, basically, you know, targets coming his way.
Yeah, and let's point out, too, on the 49ers scheduling front, you talk Elijah Mitchell, they will, assuming Trey Lance is the guy, we saw the news today, Jimmy Garoppolo, his shoulder recovery, his throwing program is coming along as scheduled, but for the first 6 games, on the road, and it's not like it's the, you know, incredibly tough schedule, but you would assume because of that, if it is Lance, you would be relying on the run out of the gates, and how does that establish Mitchell? Mm-hmm. We'll see. I totally do not have an issue at all with that play. We will discuss some Wimbledon. It is underway across the pond. We'll discuss next here on Primetime Action. Baseball predictions made brighter. Join the Born in the Ballpark Challenge presented by Blue Moon to compete free for cash all season. Enter weekly prediction pools to fight for your share of $62,500 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Blue Moon now to join the action. Blue Moon made brighter. 21 plus only. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Drink responsibly. Over our last commercial break, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin uttered a statement not many people have made, which was Aaron Judge. He sucks.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with that guy.
Bum.
What's wrong with that guy?
I mean, I lied about the Yankees. He hits into a double play with no outs. Come on, man.
5-1 A's has massive near $3 dogs tonight in the Bronx, and Kelly's a live bet. Not going so well so far. Bottom, top half now of inning number 4. And, of course, we talked about how this would not be the night for Martin Perez to experience regression in Kansas City. And, of course, they score a run in the first inning. RBI force out by Bobby Witt Jr.
You know, I mean, we're okay with that. You know,
it would have been funnier if it was a homer.
Yes, it would have been much funnier if it was a homer. I kind of wish it would have been.
That 2.6% home run to fly ball rate would have certainly taken a dent there.
Oh, is that Sean Kemp hitting in the 9 spot for the A's these days? Different guy? I'm going to say different guy.
Not. Oh, great. Hilarious error made on a routine ground ball hit to the right side by Chad Pinder. Kelly, the Yankees are not doing you any favors. Anthony Rizzo.
Plenty of time.
Earlier today, speaking of plenty of time, because we've got 2 weeks, it's a full fortnight across the pond. For everybody complaining that there's no sports anymore, you're wrong. There are a lot of sports. Well, it's not just baseball.
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta wake up early and watch them.
Well, look, am I waking up at 3 a.m. on the West Coast? No.
No.
Am I setting up my Apple TV ESPN quad box as soon as I wake up? Yes. Okay. It's just usually about 4 hours. At least after that.
You got to catch up.
You kind of have to do the catching up. You sort of hope that they just, backload the slate every single day. But we take a look at some of the updated futures. Very interesting day one. And as is usually the case at Wimbledon, it's a much more high variance tournament than the other Grand Slams because on grass, it's usually one that benefits the mega servers. And what I've seen too, Matt, this was apparently the driest, hottest summer that they have had in London in sometime. It's basically like West Coast United States-esque drought going on right now. So that has resulted in the playing conditions being extremely fast. And we've seen a lot of the big servers do well. We had some very interesting results already today. So of the big names, Hubert Erkacz, who was the number 7 seed, pretty healthy favorite to come out of quarter number 2 on the top half of the bracket. A lot of people thought he would face off against Novak Djokovic in the semis. He lost in what can only be described as an incredibly comical match today, where both he and Alexander Davidovich Fokina each tried to choke the match away separate times. But Erkacz loses as a massive, massive favorite. He is really the first guy on our odds board, at least of the 20-1 and unders, to go down. And then Marin Cilic pulls out. He had a COVID diagnosis, was waiting to get cleared, and ultimately had to withdraw.
Yeah, said he was hoping that he would be able to get cleared. And really, it wasn't even the fact that he, according to the statement, really wasn't even the fact that he didn't get cleared. He said he still feels bad. Like he said, he still feels bad. So it isn't even one of those deals where he's asymptomatic or anything. Like he's got actual symptoms out there. Now, one of the things we didn't see here, at least on day one, again, it's very early, but on the women's side of things, look, for big seeds to go down on the women's side of things is not that rare. It's pretty common. And we actually didn't get that on the women's side of things here today.
Really, the only – I mean, Belinda Bencic is right now in a suspended match.
Yeah.
She was one of the last matches today. She dropped a set, but they're tied at a set apiece. They will resume that match tomorrow. Ironically, you mentioned that, Emma Raducanu, who was the number 10 seed, the whole world was against Raducanu today. And she basically admitted she was really close to withdrawing. She had a hip injury. She had spent a total of 22 minutes – on court during the grass season, has been horrific since her magical run to win the U.S. Open a couple years ago, and was on center court today. Tons of pressure for the native of Great Britain, and was a pretty healthy $1.40 underdog to Alison von Utvank, and beat her 6-4, 6-4 today.
Yeah, like she was and like you said, everyone in the world was against Raducanu.
I was going to bet von Utvank, and eventually the number got out of hand, and I'm like,
everybody in the world was on her. And so, it was Raducanu who comes out 6-4, 6-4 in this one. I actually did make, I think the only really kind of big upset today, if you even consider it a big upset, would be Danielle Collins going down. She goes down in 3 sets. She wins the first set 7-5, but then goes down 6-4, 6-4. In that one, so the 7 seed
she was only $1.30 favorite.
So the 7 seed does go down, but again, like you mentioned, she was barely a favorite. If you kind of want to consider
this,
it
is probably her worst worst surface. Marie Buskova gets her in 3 sets.
Yeah, she was like 40-1 or something like that.
And again, that's where we discussed in the past. Seeding does not really matter as it relates to the actual odds here. Really, the only player eliminated from the women's draw 20-1 and under, Beatriz Haddad-Maia, who was the number 23 seed. She was 20-1. Haddad-Maia lost in 3 sets today, and she was a $3.80 favorite to Kaja Juvan, lost in 3 sets there. And so, again, we mentioned the Bencic part of this. Wang Kuang, the young Chinese teenager, who they have split sets as well in that one. So, but you're right. I mean, it is so early. We have yet to see a number. I mean, again, today was just the top half of the draw. Women's, it feels still fairly wide open at this point, and we have discussed before how for Iga Świątek, who is +150, the favorite, but this is by far her worst surface of the four. Still a very good player and a deserving favorite, but there is the general sense, Matt, that this thing could start to get more open. I guess the other big development today, Ons Jabeur, who picked up an injury in the doubles tune-up last week at Eastbourne with Serena Williams, there was a little bit of concern about how would she look as she had not played since they had to medically retire from the Eastbourne doubles. And she was dominant today, won 3-1, and she remains your second favorite here.
Stanton solo shot.
There you go.
5-2.
There you go.
Kelly's all locked into this right now. Great.
So I did make some futures bets based on all the fact of, I look at it this way. So from on the women's side, only one on the men's side, and then I made four on the women's side, and they were, you know, this is based off the fact of, this is definitely Iga's tournament to lose. I understand why she is the favorite that she has. You win 34 matches in a row, you know, you this is the type of attention you get, and especially when you get, you know, the second best player in the world retiring, you get some of these other players that can't play in this event due to, you know, the restrictions from Wimbledon and whatever. So, like, you know, it is a little bit of a watered down field. There's no doubt about it. But I played FAA on the men's side just at 18-1. And this is more of a, if you look at his draw, the way that it kind of plays out, I think it is pretty favorable for him. Now, look, he is by far, he is not near as good as Novak Djokovic. It is Novak Djokovic 100% in this tournament and everybody else. But I think if there is a chance for a dude with such a big serve and such a powerful baseline game when it's on, you know, at 18-1, I'll take a flyer in case something goes off the rails. It was on the women's side where I got a little frisky because, you know, again, if Iga goes down, this thing could go haywire with whoever
any,
wins this.
Any direction,
like if this thing could go haywire if Iga goes down. And so with that, I wanted to get some of these kind of longer shots in my account just in case things kind of go. And listen, I like what I've seen from Ostapenko here lately. And specifically, whenever you kind of look, it's really just her needing to run hot, right? A lot of matches that Ostapenko loses, she just makes so many unforced errors that it just, like, it's impossible to win a match when you make that
many.
She
runs so hot.
Yes, yeah. Like, she makes so many unforced errors that it's like, it's impossible to win a match when you make that many unforced errors. But it doesn't matter how much better you are than your opponent. But if you can, again, like, you know, look, we talk about this. It's you can run hot, right? Like, people can kind of feel it. People can have these kind of magical runs. We just saw a no-name guy run through four ranked guys to win a tournament 2 weeks ago. And all. So, Ostapenko, if she can just kind of calm that down a little bit, I think at 21-1, which I was able to get her. I mean, 17-1 right now, I don't think it's the worst in the world. I do like that one. The other ones I made, look. Does she have a real chance? I have no idea. I haven't seen her. None of us have seen her play in forever. I mean, you can watch her play doubles if you want to and try to figure out if you think she's any good or not still. But Serena Williams at 26-1, which you were able to get at a shop here in town.
I actually found 28.
Well, you found 28-1.
Yeah, I'm with you. We talked about this last week. Fun bet on Serena.
It's at 26-1 on Serena. It's like, hey, look, everything about this tournament, it all favors at least the old version of Serena. We have no idea what this version is going to look like out there. We have no idea what her stamina is going to be, having taken such a long layoff and all the different things like that. So, but at 26-1, if you want to give me the greatest player of all time at 26-1 in a tournament that she felt comfortable enough to come back and play, because, like, I don't think Serena's that type of girl to come and embarrass her. You know what I'm saying?
No question.
Like, if she didn't feel like she could compete, I don't think she comes and does this.
And the fact that last year was the first time she'd ever lost in round one, which wasn't a loss. She had to medically retire. We have not seen her in a singles competition since then. But, look, I'm willing to put some stock in at least watching her a little bit at Eastbourne, where she clearly was moving well. And, again, you're right. It's doubles. Yeah. Over seven matches. I don't know how much that holds up. It's funny you mention her, though, because she is going to be in one of my plays tomorrow. I've got her in a parlay. We'll discuss next some of our plays here.
Let's do it.
But I think it's a great setup, and Harmony Tan, who she will face first. Again, we'll get into this on the other side. It is a very, very good matchup for Serena to get back on center court at Wimbledon. So that'll be one leg of a parlay for me. We'll talk about the other leg tomorrow. Also talk about the men's side of the draw, because there were some more of the bigger names that went down, at least guys who were seeded. And there have been some changes now into the odds board. So we'll discuss that next as we continue discussing the Wimbledon. That's on the other side here on Primetime Action.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not only tonight's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way vsin is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com.
Rookie.
I was waiting for you to thingy.
Yeah, there was no pause.
I was literally
waiting.
I was very deliberate in my delivery and cadence there.
Rookie.
I knew you were going to jump in.
We'll move on.
You're supposed to not even wait for the pause.
We'll move on. Just go. You've embarrassed yourself, Ben. You've embarrassed
yourself. O'Neill Cruz in his first home run tonight.
He did. Look, there's
a laser.
I believe that there's going to be a... I believe that there's going to be a ticker tape parade, like whenever they get back to Pittsburgh for his for his first career home run. That said, I mean, all seriousness though, I mean, like,
the guy's amazing.
The guy's amazing. Yeah, he is.
My decision to hang on to him in the fantasy baseball realm for the entire stretch here after drafting him, it is finally paying off. Thank you, Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, look, they've got some young talent on that team. So I mean,
Ryan Hayes,
yeah,
really good.
I mean, they've got some young talent on that team. It's like they're a couple of years away, most likely. But I mean, I think if you're a Pittsburgh fan, it's not all doom and gloom as it's been for like the last several seasons.
Especially with, where the Reds are at right now, with where the Cubs are at, there's mm-hmm. a pathway to at least get to mediocrity first and then kind of go from there. So it is the first career home run for the rookie sensation O'Neill Cruz, and a lot of the betting markets now co-favorites at 4 or so to 1 as Josh Gordon has just – Is that Josh Gordon or Nick Gordon? I always get the two confused.
Yeah, not Josh Gordon. He'd be the wide receiver.
There is a Josh Gordon in baseball, but that is the Nick Gordon of the Minnesota Twins. As the night of struggle continues for Tristan McKenzie, 2-run shot, 7-0, Minnesota Twins, top of the sixth, and this has gone from bad to worse for young Tristan.
Yeah, he is 8 hits, 7 earned for Tristan McKenzie so far.
That is 17 hits, 13 earned.
Yeah.
Over his last two starts, both of which coming against Minnesota.
Now, my fate of Blackburn here against the Yankees has not paid off quite yet. I mean,
5-2 game now.
5-2 in favor of the A's. Blackburn has actually been really good for them. He's getting the bottom of the lineup to strike out. I mean, he's getting like Trevino. He's gotten Trevino twice. He's gotten Gallo, shocker that he's gotten Gallo to strike out or whatever. But actually through four, he's got 7 Ks in this one. Wow. He has given up 2 bombs, one to Stanton, one to Rizzo. But outside of that, he has been pretty good here, 5-2 in favor of the A's over the Yankees right now at the top of the fifth.
All right. And we are seeing, remember, the Rangers, who we just talked about, mm-hmm. Martin Perez going down 1-0, but they have quickly responded. 3 runs in the top of the seventh, top of the second off Chris Bubich, all without any outs. And there are actually now 1 out. Bases loaded still, top of the second. Leody Taveras, the big hit there, 2-run base hit, as the Rangers have taken there a 3-1 lead. So we were talking to Wimbledon. And we now have a situation where we go into, it's for the women tomorrow, the top half of their draw, first round. For the men, it's the bottom half. You were mentioning some of your futures plays that you added here on the women's side. I've got Serena Williams in a two-player parlay tomorrow. And it's funny, I'm glad that you at least recognize that there is like a path here for Serena. Because I think some people would look at this and say, okay, like way to just be like the most Joe Public guy better ever, betting Serena when she has not played for 360 some days, at least in a singles format. But
that would be me. I made 2 bets, Djokovic and Serena Williams. So Joe Public.
There you go. Joe Public. But look, and we've discussed the Serena piece of this before, but she gets Harmony Tan, who is making her Wimbledon main draw debut tomorrow on center court against Serena Williams. 0-2 on grass this season. She's the young French woman, more of a clay court, hard court specialist, only winning 94% of her combined service and return points, which it's, you know, you're looking for players to be in that 105 to 110% range for truly elite stuff. So I'm gonna back Serena tomorrow, and I got her at a -295 price. Just looking around the market. With Serena, seeing her right, you can still get -295 at one shop in Nevada. So that's still widely available. And then the other player, this is, again, kind of in that veteran theme, who, look, the market not really in love with because of injury, but Garbiñe Muguruza has really actually kind of under the radar put together a nice grass court season so far, winning 107% of her combined service plus return points and 46% on return. That is, she's had one of the best grass court return seasons of anybody on tour. And we know she is somebody with tremendous pedigree, not quite Serena pedigree on grass, but 2017 champion, someone who made round 3 last year. It has not been a great calendar season for Muguruza, but this is a place she's really comfortable in. And faces a first-round opponent in Greet Minnan, who is under 100% serve return combined and very poor on return, 40%.
And betting, you know, if you're kind of just tuning in, or if you've never really bet tennis before or anything like that, like you see Ben has a parlay up there, like I will often bet parlay. So I look at tennis very akin to MMA, right? To UFC or something like that, MMA, where it's an individual sport at the end of the day, and betting, you know, these gigantic favorites just solely without parlaying them and getting a little bit better odds, to me,
hard.
I think is a kind of a foolish errand here, because it's still an individual sport. Like you can bet on team X, Y, and Z, and Kevin Durant can go out of the game and they can still win the game. Like the quarterback can get injured and the backup quarterback can come in and they can still win the game. Like the game isn't over if the person gets hurt, you know, but when you're in these individual sports, there's, you know, the injury factor in, you know, in MMA, in tennis and things like that is still a real thing, you know? And so while, yes, a -405 is going to win the vast majority of the time, there's enough of a factor, which we've seen, Ben, all the time. And I mean, listen, this is the other thing too. We talk about this with grass. I mean, they don't play on grass very much. They don't play on grass very often. And so you sometimes do see little weird freak injuries and things like that, because again, you're just not, this is not a surface that most of these players play on very much at all, you know? And so, and specifically, listen, right now, this first week, this grass is going to be the best it's going to be, right? It's going to favor the big servers for sure, because what you'll see next week is as these courts get played on more and more and more, you're going to start seeing more and more dirt patches out there, and you're going to start seeing more and more. And like those dirt patches do slow the ball down just a little bit, right? I mean, it does start to favor these gigantic servers just a little bit less and all that. So like you will see some upsets here. You're going to see a lot of tiebreakers and things, because people are just going to hold serves all the way through, and it's going to get decided in tiebreakers and whatnot. So just, you know, be prepared whenever you make these bets that that is just a real factor at Wimbledon.
It's a great point. And you see a lot of more injuries in this first week, too, because the surface is a little more slick where they water it down in the lead up and then they don't water it for 2 weeks. And that's what we saw exactly happen to Serena last year. So you're not, you know, any of these bets, you know, going in. And that's why, at least for me, and we like to do this, it's almost like you're trying to, you know, figure out who. Which players do you feel like are safe from totally imploding and screwing a potential parlay you play? So I like the 2 to 3 player parlays and that I try not to go more than minus $1.50. That's what I've got here with Muguruza, Serena tomorrow, and then you kind of just monitor like where what players are looking in form, since you don't have much data to go off of pre tournament, right? There's only 2-3 tune-up events, and some of these players are not playing many, if any, of them. So like you look at what's happened on the men's side already, where I mean, Carlos Alcaraz, who has been this just unbelievable rising star in our game, in the sport of tennis, but he is a elite clay court player, really, really good slow hard court player. And today, I mean, he was very fortunate to get past Jan Leonard Struff in 5 sets, but looked pretty obviously exposed. And because of the way the futures market is already set up, it's not like his numbers is going to jump further back, right? Yeah. So he goes now to 12-1. He's the fourth betting favorite. And he really shouldn't be when you watch the way his game and a lot of the things he exploits are pretty much neutralized at a place like Wimbledon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't have any interest whatsoever. The reason, like I said, I only took one flyer on the men's side with Auger Aliassime. And the thing is I'm fully willing to lose this like in the first round. I mean, he plays Cressy in the first round, and so
popular upset pick.
Like Cressy is a massive, massive server, and like I said, he's one of, and during this first week of Wimbledon, these massive servers, it is a huge, huge favor to them. With these courts as slick as they are, the ball doesn't bounce very high. And then you also get in Cressy kind of this unorthodox deal where he still kind of serves and volleys a lot and plays that type of game. And, a lot of these guys just don't see that anymore, right? And like, so you don't, a lot of these guys don't know how to play a serve and volleyer because that just isn't part of the modern tennis game anymore, you know? That's just not part of anything they ever see. And so, he kind of throws that curveball at them as well along the way. So, I mean, even though I have a futures ticket on this guy, I'm willing for that thing to be done after tomorrow. After tomorrow. If anything, like, I would at least think about not an upset ticket on Cressy, but, like, you know, whatever the spread is in that one, I would at least – I'd consider it at least anyway, because again, these huge servers, man, like it favors them here early, and I think his big serve is going to be serve him well.
You can get in some spots Cressy catching 4.5 games tomorrow.
Yeah,
I would like if you want to make a bet, I would like quarter 3 Matteo Berrettini. I'm seeing at DraftKings -110. Elite server has been out of form with injury, but played really well in the tune-up events. Mm-hmm. Ran the table at I believe Queen's Club. But he's a guy who's got guys like Diego Schwartzman, Stefano Tsitsipas, not true grass quarter players in his quarter bracket. So that's a guy I'd be looking at if you're still looking to get involved there in the futures market. Okay, that's a fun discussion on tennis. We'll continue to do it throughout the week. Up next, we'll update some scores, talk 32 teams, 32 shows here on Primetime Action.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.